Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Good evening, everyone. I'm glad for everyone that's jumping on. Thankful for everyone. I was just speaking to the TikTok family over here on my right, your left, and I'm welcoming everyone that's watching on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Twitch. As you're jumping on, if you would, do me a big old favor and share the stream. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for everyone that joined in last night. Hey, Angel, glad to have you on. Happy Good Friday to you as well. I'm thankful for everyone that joined us last night. If this is your first night watching, I'm thankful that you're here tonight. And I just want to encourage you to comment, to like the broadcast, and to share the broadcast. We're going to be discussing a lot of themes, or rather a theme tonight, Are You Thirsty? And it's going to end and deal with salvation. And you know, the more we understand and study about the things of God, particularly our salvation, it builds up our faith. You know, maybe you've heard about the salvation message before. Maybe you've heard, you think, well, I'm saved. I already know what it means to be saved. The more you hear, the Bible says the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Even when it concerns your salvation, when you hear the word of God, it's going to build up your most holy faith in that area of salvation so that you can tell someone else about it. And so I'm thankful for everyone that's jumping on. We're going to get started here in just 1 second. I'm making sure that I have everything on my end correct and as is needed. All right. And we should be good to go. And just so you know, when you comment on any of the platforms, that's when I see your name. So I'm thankful to see you when you comment. That way I can interact with you. How old are you? I'm 34. I'm reloading. Just turned 34, actually, like 2 weeks ago on March 15th. Actually, 2 weeks. Well, it'd be 2 weeks from today. I'm reloading the comments over here. I'm going to type one in just for a test. All right, here we go. Let's do it. If you haven't shared the stream, please do. If you haven't liked or interacted in some way, please do. Here we go. Here's my question. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? The reality is, all of us, every single one of us, we all have a desire, and we're going to call that desire thirst. We're going to call that desire thirst. Because it helps us understand things, because we understand natural thirst, right? We understand how natural thirst operates and how that works. And so, are you thirsty is the question I want us to ask tonight. Are you thirsty? We all have desires. We all have within us this great, great, great desire. And it can only be satisfied one way, just like thirst can only be satisfied by drinking something. But we can attempt to satisfy this thirst in our hearts and in our lives and in our spirit other ways. But first, before we get to that point, and I show you how many people try to satisfy that thirst many different ways, I want to read a passage and I want to read something that Jesus said. In John chapter 7, starting with verse 37, Jesus says this, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," or his belly, the King James says, "out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Verse 37, 38, 39, one more time. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood out, cried out, and saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus is asking this question. He's at this great feast. In fact, he's at this great feast, and there's many people there, and he stands up in the midst of this feast. And he says, is anyone thirsty? He asks this very broad, general term. Is anyone thirsty? But it's actually very prophetic. It actually is something that many that were there feasting of this religious feast in a means to worship God, they would know exactly what he's referencing. If we were to go back to Isaiah 55 verse 1, going back to the prophet Isaiah 55 verse 1, it says this, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah 51 verse 1, just the first portion of that verse one more time. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk and without money and without price. You know, this is a same thing that is rehearsed again at the end of time in Revelation 21 verse 6. Revelation 21 verse 6. With this question that we're asking ourselves, are you thirsty? Revelation 21 and verse 6. If we go to the last book that's in our Bible, the very last book of the Bible, Revelation 21, 6. It says this, and he said to me, it is done. Behold, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. So we see the prophet Isaiah, he's prophesying and he's saying, anyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. And then if you go all the way to the end of time in Revelation 21, the Alpha and Omega, Christ says, I'm going to give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. And Jesus is asking this question in John chapter 7, when he's ministering on the earth during his earthly ministry. He's asking this question among the multitude of people that are there surrounding him at this religious feast. Is anyone thirsty? And if they are, come to me. Now, isn't it interesting? In Isaiah, it says, if anyone's thirsty, come to the waters. In Revelation 21, the Alpha and Omega, Christ Jesus, says, I will give the fountain of waters to anyone that is thirsty. But in John 7, Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me. Come to me. If there's a desire, if there's an unquenchable thirst in your heart, in your spirit, that you cannot satisfy, come to me and I'll satisfy it. But see, there's the thing. Many, many times we try to satisfy that thirst with something that will never quench the thirst of our hearts. We try to satisfy our thirst. And this is the thing about this world that we're living in this world that is dead in sin. You know, we talked about it last night, 1 John 5:19. This world is under the sway of the wicked one. Under the sway of the wicked one. And if we follow the path of this world, we will be very thirsty, but we'll never receive anything that will quench our thirst. We'll never have anything that will quench our thirst, though we may try many things. You know, some people, in order to quench this thirst that they have, some people try to quench that thirst in their spirit, in their heart. They have this great desire, and they try to satisfy that desire. They try to quench the thirst that they have, this great desire that's in their heart. They try to quench it by just with money. With trying to make a lot of money. You know, some people, they're trying to satisfy that aching and longing in their heart. there's something missing in their lives. And you're watching and listening, and maybe you feel like there's something missing in your life. Well, let me tell you something. You can try to make all the money you want, but it will never satisfy that desire. You know, we live in a natural world. You need money. Money is a tool like a hammer, a saw, a screwdriver. It has a purpose. It does something. It functions in society. It is a medium of exchange in order so you can buy goods, so you can eat, so we can be clothed, have a place to live. But it will never satisfy. It will never fill that void in your life. Proverbs 23 verse 5 says this, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Verse 4 and 5, Proverbs 23. "Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like eagle toward heaven." Let's be honest. Money, you can spend money 10 times faster than you can make it. If that's not true, if you know that's true, put an emoji hand in the comment section. Put a money bag in the comment section if you want. You can spend money, I'm telling you, 10 times faster than you can make it. If that were not the case, why are so many people stressed out, broke, busted, and disgusted? Over-leveraged, in debt up their eyeballs, just trying to make ends meet because they got more month than they do money. But here's the thing. We can properly manage money and make that work for us, but it will never satisfy the thirst in your heart, in your spirit. Though some people have tried it. There are some people who worship money. They worship their possessions. Think about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. You remember his story? He comes up to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Obey your mother and father," or "honor your mother and father. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not covet." And this young man says, "I've done all these things from my youth." And you know what Jesus doesn't say? He doesn't say, "You're a lying dog." He doesn't say that. Absolutely not. He doesn't say that. Rather, what Jesus does is he pinpoints the exact thing that is taking hold of his heart. Jesus says, "Okay, leave here, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And it says that that rich young ruler left very sorrowful because he had great possessions. He had great possessions. Rather, those possessions had him. Those possessions had him. He thought he had the possessions, but the possessions had him. And he was trying to satisfy something with possessions. There's nothing wrong with having possessions, but the moment those things take a hold of your heart and you can't freely let them go, they've become a god to you. That's what's so beautiful and powerful about giving. It cleanses your heart of greed. But this young rich ruler, he was trying to satisfy that thirst with his possessions. And people try to do that. You can work yourself to death, earn as much money as you want, but it will never quench the thirst in your heart. You know, some people, they try to quench this thirst. You know, Jesus is crying out, "Is anyone thirsty? Is anyone thirsty?" I want you to put in the comment section. Maybe you can find the emoji brain, the emoji brain. But you know, many people try to quench this thirst simply by seeking more knowledge. Now, is seeking knowledge a bad thing? Well, no, not at all. Absolutely not. It's good to have understanding. It's good to have knowledge and wisdom. But some people constantly are trying to get more and more knowledge, gain more and more knowledge, and they think if they can just know enough, if they can just be as wise enough in their own eyes. Isaac found it on TikTok. There you go. If they can just be wise enough in their own eyes, if they can become wise among men, if they can just have enough knowledge They'll satisfy this thirst. 2 Timothy 3 verse 7 says this, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is referring to the last days we're living in. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 says this, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. There's that trying to satisfy thirst with money again. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the truth. Always learning, never able to come to the truth. You know, you can just try and learn. And you can possess all this knowledge. And you can know about everything. Think about this. How sad, how pitiful would it be to spend your entire life studying the annals of history, knowing all the important dates of things that took place, knowing all the scientific data there is, understanding biological concepts. That's a trick nowadays that most people don't understand. Proper biology. Amen. Knowing the name of every animal and plant life, and knowing immense amounts of knowledge. You could win every single episode of Jeopardy. Anybody like Jeopardy? I love Jeopardy. I love Jeopardy. Man, love it. Anyway, you could win every episode of Jeopardy and still not know truth. Have you ever heard the saying, book sense but no common sense? Maybe that's not quite the saying, but have you ever met someone like that? You know, they got book sense, but they ain't got no common sense. You know, I hear that lots of times around where I live here in the South. And what are they saying? That person has a whole lot of knowledge. It could be about anything. Look, they might be able to take a scalpel and cut you in open and pull your heart and put a new one back in. But when it comes to common sense, they lack it all. They lack it all. Ecclesiastes 1:18 says this, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. You know, you can begin to try to chase wisdom and knowledge, not wisdom per se, but knowledge and information to the point where it will drive you crazy. You know, I think lots of times things that we call conspiracy theories aren't actually conspiracy theories. But you can go down the rabbit trail of trying to get so much information about why things happen and who did what and is this actually true and all this. And I'm not saying be ignorant necessarily, but you can actually go down a rabbit trail so deeply that you'll rob yourself of your peace. You'll destroy yourself and have no peace. And people try to satisfy this thirst that Jesus is pinpointing. Is anyone thirsty? Some people try to satisfy that unquenchable thirst in their spirit, in their heart, by simply just gaining more wisdom, more knowledge in their minds. And I think that's so powerful. In 2 Timothy 3:7, it says, always learning, but never coming to the truth. You could know every bit of knowledge there is to know, but if you don't know how to make it to heaven, it's all worthless. You could know every point of fact and data that has ever been made available in all of history concerning every realm of science and study. But if you don't know Christ, it is all worthless. You know, Jesus, he's standing out, he's crying, is anyone thirsty? You know, some people, they try to satisfy this thirst through seeking pleasure. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me read you this, and I think this is very apparent in the nation. We got people watching from all over, many states, but also different nations. And in the nation that I live, the U.S., I think this is very apparent that our culture right now has a great burning desire, a thirst in their heart, and they're trying to satisfy it through seeking pleasure. Through seeking pleasure. 1 Peter 4, 3 and 4 says this, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it is strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." I want to switch translations real quick. Grab my wife's Bible here. Her New Living Translation is going to shed a little bit more light on several of those words that, honestly, we don't really use those phrasings that much nowadays. 1 Peter 4, verse 3 and 4. "You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness, wild parties and terrible worship of idols, heresies," excuse me, I flipped more than one page. "Of course, your former friends are surprised. You no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you." I pray that you have. You've experienced Christ and now you're living for Jesus. Have you ever encountered that? That once you got saved, you had some of your runaround pals. They said, "Oh no, you got saved? You're a Christian now? What do you mean you can't go with us? What do you mean you can't come to the party? What do you mean you don't drink this anymore, or smoke this, or inject this, or watch this, or hang out with these people, or do this, or have one night stands? What do you mean? What do you mean you don't do those things anymore?" And when you come to Christ, there is a division. There is a severing. You have to sever yourself from the lewdness and the lust of this world before they destroy you. But why do we gravitate? Why does humanity gravitate to satisfying the lust of the flesh like that? Because there's a desire in the heart. There is an aching inside the chest of men and women that they desire fulfillment. They want something more than what they currently have. They have an appetite that they cannot satisfy. They have a thirst that they cannot quench. And they're trying to satisfy this thirst, satisfy this longing and this desire, but they're doing it through a means that will destroy them through seeking pleasure. Maybe you're watching and you're listening, you think, you know what, that's me. And you know, I don't have to tell you, I don't have to beat you over the head with my Bible, I don't have to get my Bible and come virtually smack you in the head with it. You know that when you go party and you do all these crazy things, in the moment they feel real good. But the next day when you wake up, you hate yourself for it. And you know that. I don't have to tell you that. And I'm not here to make anyone feel bad. And when I was dead in sin and I did sinful things, after the sin was complete, for a moment in a season, it felt good. But immediately after that sin was complete, that's when shame came in. And what I'm telling you is, you don't have to live with that. What I'm telling you is you can satisfy that thirst without having something that will bring shame and destruction. See, Jesus is crying out and he's saying, "Is anyone thirsty?" You know, there's many people that are thirsty. There's many people that desire to have this fulfillment in their life. And they're trying to be fulfilled in many things. You know, some people try to satisfy this thirst that's in the heart of man. They try to do it through addiction. Isaiah 5 verse 11 says this, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow or pursue intoxicating drink, who continue until night till wine inflames them." Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink and who continue until night until wine inflames them. Now this is just talking specifically about alcohol. But it's true with all addiction. If you've ever been bound by addiction, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's pornographic abuse or sexual addiction, you know that the moment you wake up, It's in your mind. You're looking for it. Someone said food addiction. Yeah. Anything that has control over you, you wake up and you immediately start thinking about it. And it doesn't stop. You can't get away from it until you go to sleep. I mean, it's just nagging at you. It's pulling at you. And it's like, well, what do they call? You know, the monkey on your back. Got to get the monkey off your back. It's like something's just pestering you, nagging at you. And then you're like, okay, fine, whatever. And you give in and you go abuse that substance. Or you go watch that pornographic video or sexual addiction of some sort. And you have that release. And then all of a sudden you feel shame. You feel broken. You feel bruised and battered. You feel like you've been used and abused. But why do people do that? Why do people lend themselves to that? Because they're trying to satisfy a desire. They're trying to quench a thirst that is in their heart and in their spirit, but they're using something that will never touch their heart and their spirit. They're trying to do something outwardly to get something to take place inwardly. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to be bound by addiction. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to be bound by addiction. In just a few moments, I'm going to pray with everyone. And I'll pray. I'll make a point to pray. I will make a point to pray with anyone that may be suffering from addiction, because I realize we're going to have an opportunity. If you're watching and you're listening, you think, you know what? These things you're talking about, AJ, I have these desires. I do these things and I'm ashamed of them. But here's the thing. I'm trying to quench this thirst. How do I quench it? Well, in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer with everyone so that you can receive Christ and you can actually be satisfied and be fulfilled and be full of peace. But with that being said, if you're here, you're listening, and you're still struggling with an addiction, even after you're saved, I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you and pray for you. But here's Jesus. He's standing at this multitude in John 7, and he cries out, "Is anyone thirsty? Is anyone thirsty?" You know, there's many people thirsty. And they try to satisfy this thirst, this desire that they can't satisfy on their own. They try to outward exercises and try to satisfy this thirst. And many people try to do it through sex, through sexual perversion. Proverbs 7, 25 through 27 says this, "Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways," referring to this adulterous woman, which is this harlot woman, which represents lust. In the book of Proverbs, "Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." When you're reading in the book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, has all these powerful insights into wisdom. I think it's like the first 7 or 8 chapters mention again and again and again about this adulterous woman, this harlot, which really it comes down to the lust of people. And it's a constant warning. And you think about it, by the Spirit of God, Solomon is mentioned, he's writing down these things. And how did Solomon stumble? The wisest man in the world. How did he stumble? Because he couldn't get his woman issue under control. He had, 1,000 wives and 700 concubines or something like that. It's outrageous. And he married all these women from all these different nations and built houses of worship to all these false gods. And it's so sad. It's so unfortunate, because we see Solomon, his heart's turned to the Lord. He builds the temple. He's serving God. But over time, over slow process, because of his sexual desires for all these women, he slowly fades away. And honestly, we never really see him come back to God. I don't know if he did. I pray he did. But he lives in his old age. You know, people oftentimes talk about, you know, and it's not young or old. It has nothing to do with age. But sometimes young people get a bad rap. But you know what? If you're watching and you're listening to me and you feel older, or maybe by natural definition, you're old, that doesn't mean you're locked and guaranteed and you're following Christ. That doesn't mean you're locked and guaranteed in your passion and your desires for the things of God. Whether you're 34 like I am, or I become 104, I still have to make a decision every day. Today I'm following Jesus. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to take up my cross and follow Christ. God's Daughters on TikTok says, I'm struggling, but every time someone prays for me, the dog barks louder and louder, louder and more thirsty than before. We can execute that dog and get rid of it, and you can be free. There's freedom in Christ for you. In Jesus' name, there's freedom in Christ for you. In just a moment, we're going to pray. But you know, we look out in our world right now. Look in this nation, in the nation that we're in, the U.S. And of course, we've got people watching from other nations as well. UK, other different places, Sudan, different, you know, South Sudan, just a few different places mentioned. But people are all the same. There's many, many people, that are trying to satisfy this desire, this thirst. They're trying to quench this thirst through sexual perversions. This is why you see, it seems like all the time, the world is pushing the envelope, on what is right and what can be, not even what's right, but what can be permissible in society concerning anything around sexuality. And here's the thing, God created sexuality, and it's a treasure. Your body the Bible says that, know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is a prized possession. Jesus spilled his blood to purchase you. Heels 1380 on TikTok says, you are pushing your agenda. I'm going to push it all night, baby. I'm pushing this agenda last night, tonight, tomorrow, and every time I get on here. So stick around. I'm pushing the agenda that's called the gospel that sets people free. Because it seems like people are constantly pushing this envelope around sexuality. You are highly valued. You bear the image of God. You are precious. And Christ shed his blood to purchase you. You don't devalue yourself. Don't just throw yourself out to anyone that will come and show you some attention. Guard yourself, guard your heart, and guard your body. Save yourself. You know what? If you're not married, keep yourself pure under marriage. You might say, well, AJ, I've already went too far. Repent. Be washed clean by the blood of Christ. Repent and say, you know what? From this point forward, I'm not going back down that road. I'm going to save myself till marriage. It makes a difference. It's God's method. It's God's way. And just doing that one thing would eliminate so much heartache. You know, if people by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what you need is the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit of God to empower you. You need, praise God, Autumn. Amen. Hallelujah. Absolutely. There's repentance and restoration in Christ. Amen. But that's what you need is the power of God so that you can do that. And you can do it. But if people simply would control that one area of life, imagine all the filth that gets removed out of the earth immediately. There's no more sexual abuse. No more children are abused. No more homes are broken. No more divorce because of infidelity and cheating. No more sexual diseases are contact. You're not going to get a sexual disease. If two people wait till they're married and then they are committed to one another and faithful to one another, it eliminates sexual diseases. It eliminates heartache. Divorce court shuts down. I mean, it's amazing. That's all that is needed. But what happens? People have a thirst. They have a desire. And they're trying to quench it. And they're doing it through other means. Jesus, he's standing out. He's saying, is anyone thirsty? Is there anybody thirsty? You know, some people, they're thirsty and they try to quench their thirst. This may sound a little strange because I'm all for hard work, but they try to quench their thirst through hard work. They try to quench their thirst through hard work. They think that if they can do enough work, they think if they can accomplish enough things, they think they can do enough action, if they can do enough good, they'll be able to satisfy themselves. They'll be able to satisfy that desire in their hearts. God's daughter, that's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for that. But people try to satisfy this desire through hard work. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 8 says this, "There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asked, 'For whom do I toil and deprive myself of good?' This also is vanity and a grave millstone." What's a millstone? Well, Jesus references a millstone. A millstone is this big stone that they would use to turn and grind up grain. It's heavy, and as you turn it, it crushes grain into powder, flour. And Jesus mentions that for the person that offends the little one, those children that wanted to come into the kingdom, it would be better for them to tie a millstone around their neck and be cast into a lake, into a body of water, and drown, than to offend one of those little children from coming into the kingdom of God. Now, that's what it's talking about here. This idea that you can work yourself into the kingdom, that you can work yourself happy. Is there anything wrong with hard work? Hard work in itself is not wrong. In fact, I hope you know, everything we've talked about in itself is not wrong. It's not wrong to have money, to seek knowledge, to fulfill pleasures and desires. It's not wrong, sexual desires, hard work. None of these things are wrong when they're done within the rails and the framework that God created. None of those things are wrong. But you have to do it God's way. In fact, once you type in the comments for me, type in God's way. God's way. You could type this as a phrase. God's way is the only way. I like that actually myself. God's way is the only way. God's way is the only way. Because all these things that people try to use to satisfy that thirst in their heart, you actually can have these things when you do it God's way, and there's no destruction attached to it. See, that's the beautiful thing. But if you do it outside of God's way, it destroys you. But when you do it God's way, it's not going to destroy you. It's going to be a blessing to you. God's way is the only way. But in Ecclesiastes 4:8, we see there's this person. He's alone. So this person, he's alone. He has no companion. No brother, no son. It's just one person, just himself. Yet he's toiling and working and working and trying to work and to earn more and to possess more and work more and earn more and possess more. You know, there's some guys I know like this. They work a full-time job. And then because they want to have all this stuff, the house, the big truck, the boat, go on the trips, and nothing's wrong with any of those things when you do it in the right order and the right way. But they want to have it all now, all right now. And so they work a full-time job. And then they ask for overtime. And then they have a side hustle. And they end up working 90 hours a week. They don't see their wife. They don't see their kids. And the boat that they're making payments on, they can take it out one time a year. The truck that they're making payments on, they never get to wash and clean it and just, you know, ride through town in it. They're going back and forth to work, to work, to work, to work. And so they're trying to work themselves up to happiness. But there's one way. There's one place. There is one place that you can actually be fulfilled. See, in John 7, I'm going to read this. Where we started is where we're going to finish here in just a few moments. John chapter 7. Verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, Jesus, he is showing you how you can quench this thirst. The first step to being having this thirst quenched is the first thing to receiving from God, rather, is to acknowledge that you're thirsty. If you want to receive from God, you don't ignore the fact that you're thirsty. We acknowledge the fact, Lord, there's a desire in me, and I can't quench it. I can't satisfy it on my own. You don't ignore it. You acknowledge that you're thirsty. But then the second thing what you do after you acknowledge this thirst is you come to Christ. If anyone thirst, come to me. Come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, you drink. Well, now think about it. I have this cup. When I take a drink from this cup, I'm making a decision that whatever is in this cup, I'm going to receive it as it is. And that's what Jesus is saying. Come to me and drink. When you take a cup and you drink, you make a decision that whatever is in this cup, I'm going to drink it. Side note, have you ever picked up a cup and you began to drink it and you notice maybe you're outside, maybe you're camping, maybe it's summertime, but you go to drink the cup or what's in the cup and you look down and there's a bug, an ant, a fly? If you have, put an emoji hand in the comment section. I've done it a few times. And of course, what do? Spit it out. Because the first thing I think is, if there's a bug in the cup, maybe there's a bug in my mouth and I've not swallowed the water yet. But how is that bug even going to get in your mouth? Because you made a decision to drink. And when you drink, you're going to receive everything that's in that cup. God's daughter on TikTok says protein. Yeah, I think I'll get my protein in different ways. It's true, though. And that's what you have to do with Christ. You have to make a decision. I'm going to receive him as he is. And here's, hey, you, me, any one of us, we can conceptualize a false Christ in our mind. We can form and fashion an idol in our mind and call him Jesus. But what we need to do is discover who Jesus is according to his truth, which is his word. And so there's some things about Christ you might immediately say, "Ooh, yes, I like that. He's loving and kind." And he is. But then you also discover that Christ is just and he's holy. And he requires of you and me justice. Therefore, you and me have to stand before a holy God, and we need a mediator. That's why we believe on Christ, and his blood pays the debt for us. And you have to come to Christ. You can't say, well, I'm going to pick and choose. You can't have a buffet Jesus. You cannot have a buffet Jesus where you pick and choose. I'm going to pick some of this, and I don't like some of that. Oh, the thing about when Jesus multiplies food for the 5,000, yeah, I like that. When he heals, yeah, I like that. When he says he's come with a sword to bring division, ooh, I don't like that. No. When he says he's coming back to smite the nations, ooh, no, I don't like that. Oh, but I like where he says, you know, love your neighbor. Yeah, I like that one too. But when he says, pray for those who spitefully use you and abuse you, pray for those that hate you, pray for your enemies, oh, no, I don't like that part. You can't have a buffet Jesus. You have to drink. You have to drink. You have to receive him as he is. And lastly, he says, if anyone's thirsty, come to me, drink. Verse 38, he who believes on me. You have to believe on Christ. You have to believe on Jesus. You know, I was reading through in preparation for this coming Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, I was reading through in Matthew, and then I started into Mark, and I'm going to finish Mark tonight and then Luke and John tomorrow. But reading the last portions, the last couple chapters, just picking up where Jesus, you know, at the night, when he's praying and he's betrayed, and then he's wrongly accused, then he's whipped, then he's nailed to the cross, he dies, and he's resurrected, and he ascends to heaven. And I'm just kind of reading each gospel's account of that. But that one thief that's hanging on the cross, first he reviles Jesus. First he mocks and makes fun of Jesus. But then, before he dies, he looks to Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He has a change in his heart. And you may be watching right now, and you may be thinking, you know what? At first, I don't know about this, but I don't know. The more this guy on TikTok, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter is talking, the things he's reading is touching my heart. It's doing something on the inside. Just because you started off a mocker doesn't mean you have to die a mocker. And that robber, that thief, that says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what Jesus says to him? Surely this day you'll be there with me in paradise. What did that thief do? What did that robber do? He believed. He said, Lord. He confessed Jesus, Lord. He believed. He believed he actually was Jesus Christ, the anointed Messiah. Because he says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. He believed. John 4:14, Jesus says this. He says this to the woman at the well. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. This is the man healed at the pool of Bethsaida. No, I'm looking at John chapter 5, which is the pool of Bethsaida. I meant to go to the woman at the well. John 4:14. Start at verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the natural well. But he says in verse 14, but whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And that's what Jesus said in the book of Revelation as well. Did he not say that in Revelation? That anyone thirsts that comes to him, he will give him the fountain of water, of living water. That's what Isaiah prophesied of, that if you are thirsty, come and receive of this well. And if you're watching and you're listening and you have never received Christ, you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time to do it. For everyone that is watching, God bless you, Isaac. Thankful for you that you were on the stream. If anyone that is watching and listening, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do it. Because that thirst that I've been talking about now for 48 minutes, that thirst that's in your heart, it will never be satisfied until you receive He who is that living water. Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll receive a flood of that living water. Not only will your thirst be quenched, you know, you think about it. Again, this cup. I can drink what's in this cup, and it will quench my thirst, but eventually, this cup will be empty. But if I go and put my mouth under the faucet and turn on the faucet, there'll be more water than there is thirst. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you'll come to me, I'll give you a fountain of living water. If you come to me, I'll put in you a river of living water, and you'll never thirst again. And I'm telling you, as we mentioned, if you tried the money game before, you tried the sex game before, the knowledge game, addiction game, the hard work game, it won't satisfy you. What you need is to come to the living water. You need to come and drink of the fountain called Christ. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is sin? It is a transgression of the law of God. How do you know you've sinned? When you do something and you feel terrible after you did it. Things that you're ashamed of. Things when you lay down at night and you put your head on your pillow and it's just you and your thoughts. No one else around. And it comes back to your memory and you think, I hope no one ever knows I did that. That's called sin. And Jesus can wash you clean of those sins. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The paycheck for the work of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the risen Son of God, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For no one will call upon the name of the Lord and be put to shame. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're watching and you're listening, and you have never put your faith in Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you want to have that thirst quenched in your heart and be full, be happy, be filled, be running over with fullness of life, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you're watching and listening, and at one point in time you were following Jesus, and you know you're not right with God, pray this prayer as a prayer of rededication. I want you to pray with this prayer with me now. Ready? Let's pray. Father, repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on my cross for my sins. He filled my grave. He died my death. And I believe on the third day, he rose again. I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Lord, I repent of my sins. Wash me by the blood of Christ. Wash me clean. Make me white as snow. Fill me with your Spirit. Satisfy this thirst. Quench this thirst in me. By the power of your Spirit, I'll live for you all the days of my life, never turning back, always following. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I have a request of you. I have a favor to ask of you. If you prayed that prayer, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, if you prayed that prayer, look in the comment section. I just dropped a link. Tap the link, fill out the form. TikTok family, if you prayed that prayer, go to my TikTok account, AJ Bible. Tap on it. Click on the link tree in the bio. Tap link tree. When it takes you to the link tree, the very first tab says, I just got saved. Tap that button, fill out the form. When you fill out that form, we had two folks fill out that form last night. We had several more that said in the comments they prayed the prayer of salvation, but two filled out that form. When you fill out that form, we will take your information, which is your name and address, and we will mail to you completely free my pastor, Pastor Leon, his study guide that he wrote, Bible Basics. We'll mail it to you for free. If you take that study guide along with your Bible and you work through that study guide, it's a 12-lesson study guide. You work through that study guide, I guarantee you when you finish that study guide, you will be much stronger in your faith in Christ. Because the Bible says that we are to make disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And the first step of becoming a disciple is receiving salvation, which you just did. The next step is to study the Word of God and show yourself approved and to grow in the knowledge of God. And I want to give to you for free that study guide. Just go fill out that, tap the link, TikTok, Linktree, I just got saved, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, click the link, fill it out. I would be happy to send you that link. 43 people last year, 43 people. Received that book last year through our online broadcasting that we do. When I do these interactive online broadcasts, 43 people. I think so far 17 or 18 this year have done that. And so I want to send that to you and make that available to you. Hey, for those that are watching that are listening, if you are by chance in the upstate of South Carolina, anywhere in the Lawrence area, come join me if you don't have Easter plans Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Gospel Tabernacle Church, Lawrence, South Carolina. We are going to be having an awesome Resurrection Sunday service, Easter Sunday, and I'm going to be teaching a message entitled, Risen, a living Jesus. I would love to have you come join me. I'm thankful for you. Tomorrow night, we will have our third of our three episodes in this series. Last night, we asked the question, are you lost? You can go check it out on the replays. Tonight, as you know, we asked the question, are you thirsty? Tomorrow, we will ask the question, are you weary? I want you to come join me tomorrow night, same time, 9 p.m. John Pender says, live stream it, Pastor. We are. We live stream our Sunday morning services every Sunday. John, my friend, I'm so thankful that you filled out that form. We're going to get that book in the mail for you. Monday, when we go to the office, we'll mail that to you as a special gift to you. If you go to my link tree on my TikTok account, John, and click on that link tree, you'll see tabs also to my church YouTube channel called Gospel Tabernacle there on YouTube. We live stream every Sunday morning at 10:30, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for Wednesday night Bible study. And then I do a Thursday 11 a.m. broadcast that many of you know about because that's how you got connected with me. I'm thankful for everyone that watched and listened. I'm thankful for everyone that was a part of the broadcast tonight. Again, come join me tomorrow night, 9 p.m. for our third session in this series of these questions that we're asking concerning salvation. Autumn, are these times posted anywhere? As far as when we live stream tomorrow night, 9 p.m., but every Sunday's 10:30 a.m. If Autumn, I'll say this. If you go to the YouTube channel, Gospel Tabernacle YouTube channel, and subscribe, you can hit the bell and you'll be notified anytime we go live. And that probably would make it the easiest. And of course, you're a TikTok user, so 11 a.m. Thursdays, you already know about that. You should be able to get notifications on that as well. I'm thankful for all that watched and listened, and I'm so thankful for those that prayed the prayer of salvation and received the most greatest gift you could ever receive, which is eternal life, faith in Christ. I'm thankful for you. I hope to see you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Saturday. We're going to ask the third of the three final questions. Are you weary? I'll see you then. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you, and every Thursday I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.